Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, will join us looking back on Game 5 of the Cup Final. More controversy, more focus on the officials. Never a good thing.
No. Mulls with a sneaky Friday off again?
Yeah. He slid that one in on the way out the door last night.
Just so you know,
I'm not here tomorrow. Steve's going to be in the big chair. Oh, really?
I don't think he's
how many Fridays has he worked in the last month and a half?
Weekend. Him and
he
Larry.
He does not work Friday.
Yeah, that's basically his new deal.
Him and Larry must just get right after it.
Does he have a new contract that we're not aware of?
I don't know.
It's possible.
I'm away next Friday, I know that.
Oh, really?
I have lawyer meetings that I can't get out of.
Lawyer meetings?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
His lawyer only works from 4 to 7 on Fridays.
What does that mean?
Well, my lawyer's in Collingwood. What kind of lawyer meetings do you think I would be dealing with?
I don't know. He doesn't work at 9 a.m.?
Huh?
He doesn't work at 9 a.m.?
No.
Why not? Why doesn't he work at 9 a.m.?
Because he's busy with other clients, and that's what I was slotted in.
I see. All right. So you, like, take a number, and whenever your number comes up, that's when the lawyer
can... sit there all day waiting for him.
Interesting move.
Yeah.
Couldn't make that happen on, like, a Wednesday or a Thursday?
Yeah.
Had to be a Friday, huh?
Only time...
Why don't we do the show from Collingwood? We can do the show from Collingwood.
We could come up.
We can do it, but I got to be home for Father's Day on Sunday.
Oh, I see. So you got to get up there.
But if you guys want Friday's show in Collingwood... Maybe golf Saturday morning or Friday morning?
No.
I like that idea.
But our show with him on it at the lawyer's office.
I don't see why we couldn't do that.
Oh, yeah, because that's what my lawyers want, us in there.
Cellino and Barnes, they'd love that type of advertisement.
Exactly.
Cellino and Barnes.
But we can do our show Friday in Collingwood if you want. I have numerous places that will want us to set up shop.
I don't know. I mean, it's just a day off. You should have just said, I took Friday, next Friday off.
Yeah, there's no need for any explanation.
Yeah, okay, then I'm not coming in.
You want a day off.
Hey, everything will be over by then. It doesn't matter.
We've got lawyer meetings.
It's a mail-it-in time.
Well, you realize, as of July 2nd, you're gone for a long time.
I don't care.
You can't get through an extra one more day?
I don't care. Do you understand for 3 months, like,
what?
You leave here and go home, and guess what I do?
What?
I go down to
30-second Sports Center head?
Oh, really? Is that what it is?
That's what it looks like to me.
No, it's 3 hours worth of a game, then maybe 3 more hours, and you are just on your couch picking your rear end.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
That's my job, though.
Okay.
That's your job. My job is my job. I do my job.
I know.
But
my job is plus this job.
I see. Extracurricular stuff.
Multiple jobs.
And don't act like you're going to be here all summer, because you're not.
No, I'm taking time off in the summer, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I'll be on a lot. Show continues, man.
I'll be here.
In August, there will be...
I'm going to show up once or twice.
There'll be a lot of heat coming out of this
radio
show.
With an extension. Was it Atkins got the extension?
Yeah, I love that. Slid that one right under the radar. No press release or anything.
How's that
work
out?
There was no press release?
Is that performance-based? Oh, you did this? How does that work?
Mark Shapiro based. I mean, I'm
not
surprised.
That's basically saying you're my guy.
Yeah.
And we got to continue, so extend me.
Well, it would be weird if they fired Atkins today, wouldn't it? Like
Yeah, because then you're just getting another guy who has that's crazy to say because
the results have not been there.
Yeah,
but that's what they're in.
Someone's going to go in a different direction and say, "Oh, I want to just add."
Exactly. Like, what is the new guy going to bring that Atkins won't bring for Mark Shapiro and company?
They're working together. They're joined at the hip. This is their thing. The rebuild, whether it's 3 to 5 years, he's here for the length of it, unless he makes ridiculous moves and trades away. You know,
but even that is
show for nothing.
Right. But even that, it's Shapiro's got the blood on his hands as well. Like,
correct.
They're all in it together.
I agree.
You know, and like, unless you don't believe he's a visionary, because ultimately that's the position they're in right now.
Mm-hmm.
You need a guy who can picture where this team is going to be in 3 years.
Yeah.
Because they're at rock bottom right now.
Yes.
Not how do you keep it here for the next 3 years. How do you get there in 3 years.
Yeah.
And I would assume, you know, Shapiro and Atkins, they've worked closely together for a number of years. They're both all in on this, you know, blow it up, rebuild, the cheap, find the kids, do the drafting, do the developing.
I'm joking. Like, there was no reason why he wouldn't get an extension. If his deal was up, he signs an extension.
Right. That's it. Through next year is our understanding. That's what Scott Mitchell and others have reported.
Fair.
And that's Shapiro's deal.
1 year extension. Really?
Yeah, essentially, yeah. And then, like, yes, they're in kind of free pass territory, as weird as that sounds for a team that's about to win like 65 games.
Right.
But everyone knew they were going to be awful.
Right.
They promoted that they were going to be awful. Again, I don't expect them to be any good a year from now, but I think by the end of next year, you better be able to see where it's going. You right. better be able to determine, okay, they're on their way up now, and hopefully two or three years beyond that, they're winning 95 games.
There's got to be a direction and a light at the end of the tunnel.
Absolutely. Here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Are you back in St. Louis?
We are. We're back here. And
do you have your Blues hat on?
No, that'll be for tomorrow.
Jersey, everything?
Yeah, Rashog said he's looking for socks. I'm telling you, man, it's not the games. The games are fun. The games are fun to cover. It's the 2 days between them.
Oh, that sucks, man.
Yeah, it's just like it's never ending, but that's the way it is. So whoever won last night was going to be our favorite team.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, you are an alumni.
Yeah, I think they're unveiling the plaque tomorrow in the hallway, too. So
I would love to see you out there full gear with the cup.
Legends Row.
Imagine Ray bombs out there like the 75th guy to get to carry the cup around and after the
it
owners and the trainers.
It would be as ridiculous as you getting your number retired in junior.
Well, it did happen. I wasn't retired, but for a day I was the captain of the team again.
Honorary captain.
So
I get the feeling I'd walk down there and say, hey, I played for the Blues, and they'd be like, yeah, beat it, chump,
yeah.
Scram.
Sorry. Thanks for jumping back in the bandwagon, but leave us alone, please.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, the wagon's pretty full here. There's the alumni. I think there were 64 of them at the last game, at game four, and there's a whole flock of them coming back for game six. And the people are, you know, are beyond excited. You know, they've never won. And there's a lot of people that have invested a lot of time, I think, in this, and they're pretty hopeful they can win it tomorrow or in 2 days.
Is there anyone that has a really bad history with the Blues? Like someone that went out on a really bad terms or anything?
Brett Hull did.
Did
Brett
he?
Brett Hull did. And then it was quite some time before everything kind of got mended back. And he's certainly, you know, very popular and very involved with the alumni here.
Yeah, he won two cups away from St. Louis, one in Dallas, one in Detroit.
Right, yeah.
Right. And you saw his Let's Go Blues thing the other night. So he was very enthusiastic about the start of the game.
And yeah, he was handing out the bird in the middle of the game as well.
Yeah, I'm not so sure how that got to be a good idea for him. But anyway, he had that fired up as well.
Oh, yeah, he was in fine form a couple of nights ago.
Well,
yeah.
Can you imagine if they win on Sunday? Like, he's going to be Bernie Lomax, him and Chaser. Like, they're going to act like they won the cup. Like, that's the one thing. Sorry, go ahead, Ray.
Chaser said something like, he's like, this will go on for a week, and I don't even think he's kidding.
Like, oh, he's got plans.
They're professionals, those guys.
Yeah, I agree. Know what they're doing, man. They have partied like they've won the cup before. They just never actually have.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. So they'll just be doing it for real this time. But, you know, the reason why I wonder if there's anyone that really went out on the wrong foot. Like, would they be accepted after a cup? Because I'm thinking about here in Toronto, let's say the Raptors find a way to win it and Vince Carter shows up and all of a sudden Vince is at the parade.
Would you accept Vince?
No, I never will.
You wouldn't?
No,
really?
I won't. I won't, and I don't.
Well, what would he be doing at the parade? I mean, it's not his team.
No, I understand that, but, you know, you never know if the owner would invite him or something.
He's a big part of their history, though,
the
right?
One of the biggest. I don't dispute his, you know, who he was and what he meant.
He left on poor terms.
Horrible terms. Horrible terms. And
well, I mean, if he gets invited back, that's one thing. But, I mean, like, ex-players, you know, alumni, whatever, they don't belong on the stage. They don't belong in the parade. The parade is about the team that won. It's about the guys that fought their way through this season and this playoff. It's got nothing to do with guys of the past or the greats of the past. And so I would say the same thing for Vince Carter. It's like, yes, of course, he was the most popular Raptor of all time and certainly the most notable, and he doesn't belong on the stage with them. He doesn't belong in a parade. If they win, it's these guys that deserve to be recognized. It's their team.
I agree.
With Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst.
Ray, going into last night, how was the outrage about the call? I mean, were people freaking out? And it's just kind of a side story, but there were some, I saw some videos of some dumb fights in the stands. I don't even know if that was, it couldn't have been.
That was alcohol
both,
related.
Yeah, they were both wearing Bruins jerseys.
They were fighting each other last
night. Yeah, it was just alcohol.
By the way, they were chucking knuckles. Anyway, about the call, was it that bad watching it or what? Like in the building?
Oh, the play happened across the ice from us, so we're up top. There was no way that looked like anything other than a penalty.
Like, yeah, we talked last night, Ray, about that that cheesy call in the first game where it was like a little hooking penalty, referee, arm up, in the same area of the ice. That happened, and there was just, the guy was looking right at it, and no call.
He's 15, 18 feet away from it. That has to be a penalty. And I can get the Bruins' outrage on this one. Yeah. Like, it's a shame because it was a hell of a game, and the goaltending, Binnington was outstanding.
Yeah,
O'Reilly has another great game, and Chara, to play like he did with the injury that he had, I mean, those all should have been the stories, and none of it is. It's all about, you know, this trip that Bozak makes that, it's clearly a penalty, and then to compound it, it ends up in the net, and then Achari gets pulled off the bench by the concussion spotter. So they've only got 10 guys, 10 forwards left till he came back from concussion spot. Because they dressed 11 forwards. Like, the whole thing was, it's brutal that it overshadows everything, but I don't know how you can ignore it and say, oh, it's not a big deal. When it was 2-0, it was a big deal. When DeBrusk scored to make it 2-1, we were like, uh-oh, this is really bad now.
The thing is, Ray, I was asked today, how do you fix it? And the question is, when a team sucks, you can't trade 20 guys. So what are you going to do, get rid of all the referee? Like, how do you fix this? I have no idea.
The way I think it, the closest way it can be fixed, and I know there's, people have this vision in their head about international hockey, but I do 50 international games a year, roughly. They call it pretty close to what the book is. Never mind this, let the players decide, and we're going to manage the game. Because when you manage the game, that means you let plays go. And a play like last night gets by, and it becomes part of the game. The international rules, or the international interpretation of the rules is, if it's a penalty, they call it. At the start, there's a whole bunch of penalties and everybody hates it. And then it settles in. The difference is, in the international game, you have international referees. They're not the best of the best. And as much as we, gripe about the officials in the NHL, they are the best that there is. If you give them the leeway to call the book tightly, I think you eliminate a lot of this crap. Too much managing the game, that means calls get overlooked. That means one gets overlooked. Gee, that other one, that was pretty close to the one I let go. Should I let that one go too? And pretty soon you're down the road and you get just wildly inconsistent games. And that's where I think the game's at now.
Yeah, I think it's gotten to a point where it's worth a shot anyway. You know, let's see what that would look like. You know, if you do call it by the book, so to speak. Now, of course, it's never going to be perfect. That's a disclaimer.
I think people go nuts, man.
But the thing is, that disclaimer doesn't get brought up enough. Like, it's never going to be perfect. Like, we live in a society where we believe, for whatever reason, we deserve perfection, but it
never
can't happen, and it won't happen.
Right.
I think the fear, and it's a fear that I can understand in the playoffs in particular, is, you know, the intensity is ramped up so high. The physicality is so high.
Yeah.
You don't want to take that away because that's what makes it so compelling.
Yeah.
You know, so how do you draw that line where it's getting amped up that much more? You don't want to lose that.
I would give you the example of an Olympic gold medal game, and that's unbelievably intense.
Right.
Right. Think back to the game in Vancouver. I think there was just three or four penalties. And it's not that the game will only change in that the players and I'll use you as an example, not Noodles because you were a goalie, but like remember when you could get away with a tug on a guy's jersey? Pretty soon you're like, now you got the whole thing in your hand. And then you hook them a little bit, and you get away with that too. And you're like, now you can do anything. I think if they call the penalties tight at the beginning for 3 to 4 weeks, there's going to be a lot of penalties. The last time they tried this, I thought they were so close to getting it right, and then they bailed on it in the second half of the season, and it turned into a free for all again. It's like, for lack of a better term, you got to have the bells to call the penalties the way they should be. And stay with it. You can't fold because the fans start to get upset or the media starts to get upset because there's too many penalties. Because in my opinion, it will crest and then the penalties will go back down because the players will go, I can't be in the penalty box all the time. I got to figure out a new way.
I agree.
I think that's the way forward.
I agree. And last night, it was close as far as managing the game. That's the word you brought up. And I was watching it. It was almost like they didn't give them that call because they didn't want the Bruins to have another power play because what were the power plays, 4-1 at that time?
Yeah, it would have been. I think it would have been their fourth straight.
Yeah. So instead of...
So what?
Exactly. That's my point. If you're creating or if you are committing infractions, that's on you. Like that's... And if it's being called consistently, I get it. And I've always been an advocate, being an old school guy, of allowing the refs to manage the game and have a feel for it. But if you're just trying to even the score, then you let that play last night go, and what happens, it comes back to bite you in the ass. And Brian and O and I had a spirited debate in the 4 o'clock hour about Cassidy. Now Cassidy is advocating against the refs last night where Berube did it after game three because he's saying, hey, it shifted. St. Louis is getting all the calls or the non-calls. And, you know, Berube was claiming that after game three. And advocation seems to, I guess from the outside, maybe be working a little bit.
Well, coaches do it. I mean, I was surprised he didn't get fined.
Who's the last coach that hasn't tried to influence the refs or influence a call at a press conference? I mean, they all do it. I'm with you, Brian. I thought he should have got fined. Last night,
yeah.
I mean, other guys get fined and they didn't fine him. I thought he did a really good job today. I don't know if you guys saw his presser at all.
Yeah,
but
I did.
Like they turned the page today. I mean, I'm sure they're still pissed, but they're like, okay, look, we got to get a power play scoring. We got to find a way to score some goals here. We got to look at some adjustments we got to make. We got one more chance. And there's no point worrying about the referees. The one thing I will say about managing the game that we would remember from when we played is it was easier for one guy to manage a game because he's the only guy making the calls. It's almost impossible for two different people to manage the game the same way. And with two refs, I think you set up a wildly inconsistent slate. And that's why, again, I think it's better if you just call what's there. And if one team ends up with 7 power plays, then don't commit 7 penalties, the other guys. That's just the way it should be.
Yeah. But you know what I also think happens a lot of times is these refs are humans, and they feel like the players are always trying to screw them over. And what I mean by that is they know what happens. When I'm not looking, you're going to jab that guy.
I know, yeah. But this is a situation where he's looking right at it.
No.
I understand the situation where you see something, you're like, I just can't raise my... You freeze.
Right, but what I'm saying is I think what happens is... You look at a guy like Marchand, a perfect example, where a guy's like, I know you just did something, and you weaseled me because I can't call it because I didn't see it.
Right.
So the next time they hit you, I'm evening that score.
Right.
You know, and then technically, he should have called the one he saw.
Right.
But... technically the other one was a penalty too.
That's him managing the game.
But
that's,
exactly. And I think that's what happens.
But wouldn't
is,
you say to yourself as a ref, I can't let that obvious one go away like that at that critical point of the
I
game?
I totally agree. I hear you. Oh, I'm just saying, you know, I think we're asking for the refs to be
perfect,
robotic,
and they're not.
Yeah.
And that's what the complaint is from everybody, the fans, everybody. Everyone says the greatest referees in the world, yeah. And it's not a game of perfect. But how do you miss that? That's yeah.
So
that.
I think from the leagues, from the hockey ops department, they have to give the officials the directive, just call what's there. Like, give them some public support, give them some private support. Like, if you call what most would say is too many penalties, but they're all penalties, then what are you going to do? Call them all. Like, give them some support. I think they're trying to... It's like there's no spine there. Like, you have to take an uncomfortable position, I believe, if you're going to get it right. If you're going to get it as close to right as you can. There's always going to be crappy calls. Always is.
Right.
Just like goalies give up crappy goals, forwards make lousy shots and terrible passes, and D lose their man. That's the way the game is. But I don't think the refs are in the position, don't have the support of the league and the directive of the way that the game should be officiated. I think they should be way more tight on it. And if they are, I think you'll get a better, more consistently refereed game.
Well,
I'm convinced.
That's another reason why I'm surprised Cassidy didn't get fined, just as basically to throw the ref a bone. Like,
yeah, be like, we got the refs back.
It.
Yeah.
Can't have it. Right. We can't have the coaches doing this. Like,
I agree.
You work for us. You're a league employee.
I would have given him a $10,000 fine, and I guarantee you Seabass would have written the check out of his personal
happily.
Check.
It's more accountable than anything else.
Seabass has got a good arm, doesn't he?
Can you imagine that? Like, imagine being around
it
Cam
hit Fergie's
Neely.
Nose when it rebounded off the wall and didn't go on the ice.
I would be terrified hanging around that guy in any situation.
You look at that clip again, nobody turned their head.
No.
Like, they just all kept staring forward. That must have sounded like a cannonball hitting the wall.
Too. Yeah, not the first time they've seen him do that.
Well, you know, the scary part is if you were on the road and you saw him acting up, and then you got to jump on the bus afterwards and you've had a bad game and he's sitting in that first seat, you know he's burning lasers through you. Like, I Daryl Sutter was quite an intense person, and I hated getting on the bus.
I love when
after
a new guy got traded to your team and you lose and they start laughing on the bus. You're just like, no.
Yeah, like,
no.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Here. Yeah. No, it's.
I always noticed when the coach, who usually sat by the window, moved over to the aisle seat when we really sucked. And so you have to come on, and now you're like 6 inches from him. And he's just staring right through you, and you're like, yeah, yeah, I got it. I was no good tonight. I got, like, he even moved from the window like that was too far away. You wanted to get right in your grill on the way by.
The worst ever was we lost in Long Island, and Paul Maurice was like, I'm so mad, but I want to watch a movie. Does anybody have any movies? And I put up my hand. I'm like, I do, but you have to stop the bus on the side of the highway. We stop the bus. I grab my bag, and I've got, like, Shannon Tweed softcore porn movies. And they fire one in, and he's like, he is so mad that that's why we stopped the bus.
Shannon Tweed.
It was, I was a big Shannon Tweed
Well, that's
fan.
Gene Simmons' wife, right?
That's right, yeah. He's
right,
like, I'm so mad, but we got to watch a movie to get rid of this. And I'm like, I got one. We got to stop the bus. I grab my bag from
Shannon Tweed.
It's loaded with VHS Shannon Tweed videos. And we fire one in, and guys were dying laughing.
Well, here's my question to all
and,
of that.
And what was his... What was his reaction?
I don't know. Who doesn't like Shannon Tweed?
Well, I guess my question is, who brings Shannon Tweed VHS tapes on the road with them?
It was part of my pride. It was
a super fan.
Yeah.
A super fan. That's who.
You call the hotel ahead, you rent a VHS.
Yeah.
Done.
Oh. Got 90 minutes for a movie.
Yeah.
I'm sure you got through the whole movie every single time.
Got one movie and he's only seen the first 10 minutes of it.
Yeah. Which movie have you seen more than any? Well, the first 10 minutes of the Shannon Tweed movie. Seen that about 75 times.
Don't worry, boys. I'll be down for dinner.
Order me a Diet Coke. All right, Ray. Enjoy the weekend. We'll do it on Monday.
Later on. See you. Have a good weekend.
There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst. Joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline, Red Tag Days are back. Purchase any new vehicle and get a $500 gift certificate to Appliance Canada, plus get rates from 0%. Visit MapleToyota.com.
No idea the story.
I'll be down for
no idea. Like, no idea if she, like, was the hero in the end, died, or anything. How was that movie? Yeah. I don't know.
All I know is she played a game of pool.
Yeah.
Game over.
Yep. Yes, guy. All right. There's a story out of Japan that I'm reluctant to get to, but we might have to touch on it a little bit later. Chris Bosch will join us.
You can't tease us like that. Like, what happened?
We're going to have to get to it.
Yeah, I think we will at some point. It's Melanie
Is it like
Friday.
Baseball or?
No. It has nothing to do with sports. Nothing to do with sports. Anyway. I'll tell you off air.
And we got to go trunk slamming, too.
We're going trunk slamming at the Canadian Open, the RBC Canadian Open. We'll get to that. Absolutely. Steve Phillips on the Jays back in town this weekend, and Ross Atkins being locked up for another year through 2020. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, so I mentioned Vegas a few times this afternoon and the odds when it comes to the Raptors series.
Yeah.
This David Purdom character, again, who's a big, basically his whole life is, he works for ESPN, but he just tracks what's going on with trends and gambling and what they're doing at different sports books. And this is pretty interesting stuff. Maybe I'm the only one that cares about this. You tell
Probably.
Me. Raptors or Warriors are 4.5-point favorites tonight. 4.5 points still. 59% of the point spread bets and 81% of the point spread money happen to be on the Raptors tonight. So the ticket count is 2-1 in favor of the Raptors. And I guess this guy spoke to one of the managers at a sports book, this one in New Jersey, and he said, quote, "It's crazy. If you told me before the playoffs started that we needed the Warriors in consecutive games at home in the finals, we would have had a good laugh," end quote. In other words, the public money is starting to hammer the Raptors. So these books are like, we need Golden State to win so we don't, you know, take a bath on the NBA Finals here.
I think that's a comment you should have just kept to yourself. Like, well, you're a gambling addict and you wanted to look at this. And
I just find it interesting that other people are like, Raptors are the team to bet on tonight. That's all I'm saying. Like, yeah, it doesn't mean you have to or you whatever. But
no, but you're right.
You finished your rant the other day with, Vegas had them at 4.5 favorites.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that was an important part of your rant.
Well, that was just to say. It wasn't like they were.
And it's not like you're the only person thinking it. That's what you're saying.
There's, right, exactly.
There's a lot of people out there that are either basketball fans or degenerate gamblers that are saying, hey, I'm really taking notice to the Raptors here. That's basically
exactly
what you're
saying. I guess what I'm saying is when you consider where, like, Golden State, that dynasty.
Two weeks ago, it was all Golden State, no matter what.
Golden State in four, didn't matter who they were playing. Believe me, we were saying similar stuff.
We did say that.
It's going to be real tough to get wins against this team. Now, all of a sudden, they're through three games.
But that's what we knew.
And people are like, the Raptors might be the team to beat.
But that's what we knew. You go with what you know. So now you start to watch some of the games, and you're like, man, this Raptor team is serious, and they have been the whole year.
Right.
But until you go through it, and I know Duthie brought this up in his interview last hour, but he was like, well, people were bagging on the fans for not being in the lower bowl, coming back off the break. The only thing I would say to defend that in Golden State, they've seen that 5 times in a row, not here in Toronto. Like, this is, and I know that it comes back to the lineups for the can, the lineups for booze, and all of that. But if this is your first ever time, soak it up.
Don't do it.
That was my only, I guess that would be my only point. In Golden State, they're like, yeah, we did that last year. We did that, like, you know, here.
Somehow
you can't compare the two.
No, it's a totally different.
Here in Toronto, those first two games have never been seen in this city before.
Well, think about it. Like, we could be on the verge of the Raptors and the Blues winning their respective championships.
This weekend?
Yeah. Like, the St. Louis Blues. The Raptors would be Monday night.
Monday would be Monday, yeah.
Yeah, putting the cart way before the horse. But still, St. Louis has never won a cup. They were dead last in the league January 3rd.
Yeah.
They're a win away from a cup. And the Raptors have been the Raptors for 24 years. Never get any respect. Any star player that's up here wants to leave, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And they're up 2-1 on one of the great teams in NBA history.
Yep.
That's the beauty of sports. I mean, that's it basically in a nutshell. Anyway. Okay, we will go trunk slamming here in a moment at the RBC Canadian Open. The thing is, we're doing
any
this on
biggies?
The...
Any biggies? Any biggies trunk slamming?
We've got the intro and stuff, so I want to get to it in a moment. But, like, I'm looking for Koepka. This is the problem with doing trunk slamming on the fly here. Do we have the audio of Koepka again today? Like, what happened with Koepka, Grapple? Find that out. And
he made a couple putts today.
But I think he kind of doubled down on the whole, I don't really care, and it doesn't really matter to me. You know, because we played that audio yesterday about what he had to say before the tournament. Yeah, he was 66. He's 4-under. So Koepka is not trunk slamming.
No. No, he's not.
He is in the mix.
That's right.
And he.
That's why he can make a comment like that, because he's so talented that he could actually not care and dial it in and just and play around like that.
Mm-hmm.
He's that good.
Yeah.
He's the best player in the world.
Right now, Brooks Koepka is a heavy favorite at the U.S. Open. Has to be. And he's the best player going. Doesn't mean he's going to win it necessarily, but
I like the underdogs. I don't like he's unlikable.
He is unlikable.
That's what it is. Now he's the villain, but he backs it up because he's just the best. But those comments are unlikable.
Yeah, him. It's so disrespectful. Like, I just don't care about the result. I don't care if the ball goes in the cup.
Right.
Like, I don't care if I hit the putt.
Right.
By the way, Bob Weeks reported that him playing in the Canadian Open on Thursday is the first time he touched a club since winning the PGA.
Yeah. But I think Tiger basically did that as well after he won the Masters at Bethpage.
They go home and they go on the range. They do whatever. To say that that's the first time you touched a club?
So the report was that not played, but you're talking he didn't even hit the range or anything.
Bob said first time touched a club.
So he doesn't – I mean, these guys would have – some sort of practice, something in their backyard.
That's what I'm saying. I thought he was being literal.
He's in his basement, has a simulator.
Bob on a Monday.
Yeah.
Well, we should get Bob to talk about your 89 as well.
Well, yeah, he's not a big believer in my game, clearly.
Well, no, he kind of took a shot at you, but he at least doubled down.
Well, at least he came on the air and admitted to it. He's like, yeah, oh, yeah.
Well, he said you'd shoot 130 at Augusta.
Right. At any big major. Anyway, you guys want to go trunk slamming
here?
Yes.
Or if what? You can do it, yes.
That's a shank! Son of a ball, why didn't you just go home? That's your home!
Oh my goodness.
Overdrive trunk slammers.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
You're not calling the careers anymore. It's not fair, it's not right.
I like that though.
Somebody reached out to you. That's what it is.
Like, yeah, he's your guy now.
Where's his caddy or something? He's like, dude, you're killing
it. I'm just saying. You two can decide if you want to.
Well, he's on the court. It's like, you're probably going to run into him.
You probably saw him at game one of the NBA finals. I don't know. He's in the field. Like, last time I checked, he was going to miss the cut. Yeah. Mike Weir's an even par. He's going to miss the cut. The projected cut is -1.
Okay, so do you want to say fire up the Weir's mobile?
No.
Well,
I don't. He's a Canadian legend.
If you feel like it's disrespectful, then that's
you
not
go right down to the bottom and see who's getting in the...
Weir's still on the course, so he might still find a way to make the cut. Michael Blair is a Canadian. There's a lot of Canadian flags at the bottom of this.
Let's go to
prominent names, particularly U.S. golfers with big numbers. Anybody?
Aaron Wise, 4-over par. I wouldn't say that's a big name, but he's been
Get
in
your
contention.
Ass in the parking lot. Get out.
You're done.
Yeah.
Tommy Lovelady. Tom Lovelady's 3-over par.
We've talked about him before, haven't we? Lovelady?
Yeah, we've talked about Lovelady. With a handle like that, he's come up on this show.
Well, he's going to do his last name after that round.
Right. Sergio Garcia, I believe, is one over. So it looks like Sergio might be starting his engine and trunk slamming. Padraig Harrington has really fallen off a cliff.
Yeah, he's done.
But he's definitely not making a cut, too. He's a two over. He is trunk slamming.
We'll call it the Padraig Mobile.
Doesn't have the same ring to it.
Oh, you love the Weirzy Mobile.
I love the Weirzy Mobile.
Give me a couple more.
Well, they're really, to be honest with you, the scores, a lot of people are shooting pretty well. You know, there isn't anyone.
Is it an easier course?
I don't know. You've played Hamilton before. I think the players enjoy playing it. Corey Connors is at even par. He's still out there, but he is dancing with the engine. Our boy, Corey Connors. But a lot of the big guys are in contention. Like, Brant Snedeker shot a 60 today. Snedeker's at 11 under for the tournament.
A 60?
Yeah. I believe that's a Canadian Open record.
I was just going to say, the course.
Here's my claim to fame in golf. Brant Snedeker shot 60. Course record was 62 by a guy named Warren Tsai. I lost to Warren Tsai in the club championship match play by one.
Wow.
Where, at Hamilton?
No, at Weston. We were in a match. He beat me one up.
Okay.
That's impressive. He's a pro.
He's not, but he was.
How did he shoot a 62, though? Like, where did he shoot a 62?
I don't know. Bob Weeks tweeted it. It's like,
at Hamilton, he shot a 62.
Warren Tsai is like an Ontario legend, like amateur golfer. He's got course records everywhere.
Really? He just does a tour and just puts up monster numbers?
Dude, I have no idea, but
he was a member. Mobile.
The Tsai-mobile.
The Tsai-mobile. No, there's a lot of big guys that are kind of in contention. Again, Snedeker's at 11 under. Kuchar's at 9 under. Kuchar always plays the Canadian Open pretty well.
He's automatic at the Canadian Open, man. Dustin Johnson, same thing.
Yep. Roy McIlroy's at 7 under. He's right there. Koepka again. Justin Thomas at 5 under. It's going to be a good weekend.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of big boys are up there. And
when you really
pushing.
Think about it, Brian, it's like, why not show up to Canada and make $700,000-$800,000?
Absolutely.
For 4 days of golf. Like,
agree.
And a lot of it is routine, right? Guys like to play the weekend before the U.S. Open. They want to play, so where's the turn? This is a much better spot.
No kidding. Than the week after the British.
It was
because they
got to
get on a late-night flight. Nobody wants to go.
Well, McIlroy's the best example. McIlroy's never coming back from Europe to play in your tournament the week after.
No way.
But McIlroy's here this weekend, and he's playing, and he's in contention. Right. Remember when it was in September, too, like before the FedEx and stuff, and guys were like, get the hell out of here.
The worst.
Yeah, they're like, the season's done. I'm not in the mood. I'm not playing. So, anyway, as for trunk slamming, we had a guy send me a text earlier, Justin, saying that he was walking through the parking lot of the RBC Canadian Open, and the Weirzy Mobile was idling. He did say that. But he said other guys are not trunk slamming tonight. I guess there's some big concert tonight. Like, Florida Georgia Line is in town.
Oh, really?
And they're playing at Hamilton tonight. I guess the Hamilton Clubhouse is
I know their manager very well. Should shoot him a note.
I guess they're in town, and they're playing.
Wow.
I guess at the RBC. You know, wouldn't shock me, too, if some of these guys were like, hey, let's head downtown. Downtown's going to be on fire tonight with the Game 4. It's patio weather. Like,
do we love patios more than I don't think any other country in the world or province loves it. Well, we'll just call it Canada. Loves a patio more than us.
Yeah.
I got to believe we are the patio capital of the world.
You think
agreed.
So?
There's no other.
No.
Somebody show me a stat or a number that matches, and there's probably no way you can do that, but no one
does
a patio.
No, I don't think anything's within contention. I was talking to a buddy of mine today, and he was driving down. He's in the beer industry and stuff. He's like, you wouldn't believe it, man. Like, convenience stores are putting umbrellas outside, and people are sitting down. Like, anywhere there's a patio, Canadians will find it, and people in Toronto will find it.
In Europe, I would say, like, North America. Like, Europe, like, Paris?
Like, Paris and stuff, they like a
patio. Yeah, like, that's...
No, I'll put us up against Paris for a patio.
What, how about Oktoberfest, like that in Germany?
But is that a patio, though? It's usually a tent. They like to tent over there, right?
Yeah,
don't they tent?
True, a beer tent, yeah.
They're generally tent people.
Right.
I think specifically early in the patio season, like when we've been hibernating throughout the winter, like tonight, again, it's 25 degrees.
Yeah.
Perfect.
The patios are like going to be
jammed.
Money.
Jammed. You go inside a bar, you just crickets. No one's going to be inside the bar except for the truly grit grinding.
I like air conditioning. I don't like the heat.
Yeah, but the regulars are inside. Like the regular who's got his spot, he never moves.
Yeah, that's true.
Normie and Cliff.
You go to those a Jack Astor's or something, like you're on the roof.
Normie and Cliff.
But you do have the diehards that are inside just watching the
yeah.
bowling on, you know,
whatever
any channel.
Channel.
Exactly. Yeah.
Still mad that they can't smoke. It's been 20 years.
Exactly.
They still complain. Been coming here for 40 years. Yeah. Haven't been able to smoke for 20 years.
Yeah. Anyway. Still can't do it.
All right. Steve Phillips, our Jays analyst, in about 20 minutes on Ross Atkins getting a year extension on his deal. And we'll tee up the series this weekend down at the Rogers Center. And Chris Bosch in about an hour live from Oracle Arena ahead of Game 4 tonight. Raptors, Warriors. You can watch that on TSN. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, Game 4 tonight, NBA Finals. Raptors up 2-1, looking to take a stranglehold on this series. Klay Thompson will play. We don't know exactly what his status will be. Is he going to be 70%, 80%? I don't know. We'll find out tonight.
You make the players find out.
Yeah, exactly.
Run him laterally. Run him up and down the court. Show me.
You have to make him work.
Yeah.
Make him work. Put Kawhi on him and just say, go ahead, man. Although, you know, he's not a guy that's overly aggressive in the paint and stuff. He's running all over the place. I don't know if Kawhi wants to chase him around all night either, but we'll see what he's made of tonight, Klay Thompson. We know the Raptors are coming back for Game 5. It's either tied at 2 or they're up 3-1. We have a pair of tickets to give away.
Wow.
This morning on First Up, Landsberg and Koliakovo announced a Raptors playoff keyword. If you heard it, now is your chance to call 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. The first person through with the correct keyword will win a pair of tickets to see the Raptors take on the Warriors Game 5 NBA Finals Monday night, courtesy of TSN 1050. Good luck to everybody that's trying to call in. The Grappler is answering phone calls as we speak. 416-870-1050. What was the keyword from First Up this morning? And we're going to announce the name of the winner because we don't want to hear from people who are like, what's going on here? What are you doing? Like,
people think they're the only person calling in. The phone lines get jammed immediately.
I had a guy send me a DM this morning, like, losing his mind because he didn't understand the way we were doing this. Like, he thought if he just called during the morning show, he'd be able to get him. And I'm like, that's not the way it works.
Pay attention, right?
Yeah, like, you had to listen to the morning show.
Right.
And now is the cue to call. We're giving away a pair of tickets. We would love to bring 20,000 listeners with us on Monday night. I wish we had that many tickets. We don't. We got a pair. The Grappler's handing them out right now. Best of luck to everyone trying to get through.
And we'll get the name.
We will hand you out a name because someone is going to be very excited. And they should be for the game Monday night.
Are these like 10 rows up? Or?
Yeah, I think they're pretty good seats. I don't think anyone would complain regardless of where they are.
No.
But they are pretty good tickets to have. So good luck to everybody. Raptors are getting in action tonight. Chris Bosch will join us in about 45 minutes, get his take on the game tonight. Because he's pretty locked in. Like, I want to hear his take on Klay Thompson. You know? Like, he said the other day, he called a shot.
Yeah, he's
2.5 hours before the game. He's like, Klay's not playing. I know the injury. I know the way basketball works. He's not playing.
I think he also said, you're not seeing Durant.
I'll bet you there's a lot of people that are around the teams that know he's not playing. Like,
yeah,
you know,
because
the Warriors.
He knows another guy in the league or another player. It's like, I'm done.
Well, you know Golden State knows. You don't think Steph Curry knows whether or not Durant's actually playing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Like, Steve Kerr continues to put forth this front. Like, he thinks he's going to come back and he feels good about it. But he's been saying that before game one.
Right.
Remember, he traveled to Toronto and they were like, we're going to find out. Oh, he's officially out for game one. Oh, we can't believe it. Officially out for game two. They've been doing this for four games now.
Yeah. He's John Wick. We said that yesterday.
The boogeyman.
Yeah, just shows up and can scare people a lot.
And he does.
Yes, he does.
He does.
Exactly.
So Chris Bosch in about 45 minutes. Steve Phillips on the Jays and Ross Atkins getting an extension. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.